Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, so it's cold out, as Matt pointed out at the end of the news there. So today, I decided to fire up the wood stove. I come in to do the show today. What's the complaint I get?
Too hot?
Yes.
But you've had that now. They're close to a year, right?
I mean, two years. 2 years.
Oh, it's been two. Wow. Oh, yeah. What, that was last year? Yeah. Man, time flies and we're having fun here on the show.
No. Sorry, this is the third winter we've had it.
Wow. I remember when you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when we got it, too. It gets installed. It was December 14th, and I was out there. It was 5 degrees, and I'm out there getting two cords of wood, putting it out. I'm freezing. And then remember, we had the party in Lewisburg. Remember that?
That's
right. Holiday party was in Lewisburg, and I was going, and I went over to
Kohl's Hardware. Yep, right across from the parking. Yeah, we were right by the Lewisburg Hotel there.
Right, and got a tarp because I needed a tarp to cover the wood, and they because we just got it. So I didn't have tarps, so I went back. Unfortunately, Kohl's was right there and back, so I went to Kohl's Hardware in Lewisburg and bought a tarp. Right. Got back, and when I got back, the last 10 minutes, it started snowing. Like, I'm getting this tarp just in time. My neighbor, Jim Hopi, and Jim for years was the guy that was in charge of all the meals at Pollock for the football team. And Jim's now retired. He refers to me now as the, quote, gentleman farmer.
Well, you got the John Deere now, so, you know.
Good. Well, you saw me on the John Deere.
Not that we're stereotyping or anything.
Hey, I was leaf sweeping the yard on Sunday. I mean, so in other words, I'm just driving around going, yeah, this is really awesome. And he goes by, he makes that statement, the gentleman farmer. I said, well, the gentleman farmer, when he's done with his yard, is going to leaf sweep your yard. And I did. See, that's where the gentleman part in the farmer comes in.
He's right. You're right. That is pretty awesome.
All right. Let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. What a game between the Niners and the Seahawks last night. Seattle finally won it.
Myers steps back at the 45, waits for the snap. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away. And that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks. And they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers. What a game on Monday Night Football. The Seahawks win in overtime. And Jason Myers does it. What a game!
I want to say Steve Rabel. Seahawks Network, right? Should be. Steve Rabel, Seahawks Radio Network. It's the first time the Niners have lost this season. That was a terrific Monday night game. It really was. The Eagles will get the Patriots this week, coming off their bye week. And with that, we now bring in our old friend Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Here's one of the oddities in the schedule. They give the Eagles and the Patriots a bye week. Why not have them play Thursday?
Yeah, it'd be a ratings winner, that's for sure. Super Bowl 52 matchup, going to be a big challenge for the Birds. But, you know, even besides that Super Bowl, the Eagles have always, or I shouldn't say always, the Eagles have played Bill Belichick tough the last several times they've played him. So this could be interesting on Sunday.
Yeah, very interesting on Sunday. Dallas didn't win last night, so the door is wide open in this division. So as they hit the stretch run, what is your assessment of Philadelphia, and what's your assessment of their chances now? Because obviously it's a two-man race. Oddly enough, the Giants lost to the Jets.
Yeah, I think you look at You know, they've won their last two games in Buffalo and then home against the Bears. Neither of them was a Picasso, but they ran the ball effectively. The defense played well for stretches, but then the defense also had some lapses that left you shaking your head. I really think this season's most likely going to come down to that rematch with Dallas at the Link in mid-December, because the Eagles have this Patriots game, and then they've got the Seahawks, two very tough games. Other than that, it's pretty easy. You know, a lot of they've still got to play the Giants twice. They've got the Dolphins. They've got Washington again. And a lot of these teams that are already bad and will probably have pretty close to checked out. So I think one of the keys for me, if they can find a way to grab one of these next two, the Patriots or the Seahawks, it really would tilt the arrow in their favor. That's asking an awful lot. But, you know, if they could find a way to win one of these next two, it would really, I think, give them some breathing room where they could even have a stumble down the stretch and still find a way to win the division. Because I don't think a wild card's coming out of the East. I think it's just going to be the division winner.
When the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, one of the keys was they found a way to get some pressure on Brady. And, of course, we know Brady, like any quarterback. I mean, this is not just a Brady thing. But when they have pressure up the middle, have the Eagles generated enough pressure up the middle this season that can make a difference on Sunday?
The last few weeks they have, because I think you finally started to see Fletcher Cox at 100%. And that was one of the things early when they really struggled in pass rush, is I think Fletcher Cox was still working himself into game, not so much game shape. I don't want to, like, he's out of shape, but he was coming back from surgery, so I think it took a while for him to get back to where he is. But you see him now kind of wrecking shop in there, and he will be a big key. Part of the problem has been they've been really beat up at the other defensive tackle. They did get Tim Jernigan back a little bit against the Bears, see if they can increase his workload going forward here. But that will be a big key. One of the things I'm really interested in is New England is so, I don't want to say dependent, like they can't do any other things. They just utilize running backs and wide receivers in the screen game, in the short game. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Eagles defense can match up with that, because I could see that giving the Eagles fits, guys like James White and what they do with Edelman, and even now with Mohamed Sanu in the fold, it's going to be a challenge for the Eagles' defense.
There's no question. Now let's flip it to the other side. How much pressure is there in the offense to potentially keep up with New England?
I think that's going to, if it turns into a shootout, I think the Eagles are going to be in pretty tough shape, because they're just kind of not built to score a ton of points right now, and they've really kind of approached these last games more of a grinded out approach. You've really seen Jordan Howard kind of emerge as a guy that moves the chain. You're getting more out of Miles Sanders, as he just looks more comfortable with the NFL level. And they've been leaning on the running game and been more than happy to kind of have time-consuming drives. I think that's what they will try to do against New England. But it's also, I just think they're just not built right now to strike quickly and strike a lot. The loss of DeSean Jackson really hurts. Yeah, they signed Jordan Matthews, and he'll help. You know, he actually was more effective in the deep game last year when he signed on with the Eagles, and I think a lot of people thought, but I don't think he's the final answer here. So if this game gets into the 30s, barring wackiness of defensive and special teams touchdowns, I think that's bad news for the Eagles.
The running game part, have you noticed at all? Have they settled into any kind of rotation at running back that's comfortable for everybody?
Yeah, I think Jordan Howard's the number one. One of the things that's been a pleasant surprise with Sanders is his ability in the passing game, and I think you're going to see more and more, maybe not split out wide, but Sanders in there and them getting him the ball in space, or maybe even vertical stretching the field. Because I don't have it in front of me, but something like, you know, three of their five longest pass plays this season are to Miles Sanders. So I think Howard is kind of the down-to-down guy, the grinded-out running back. And then they've done a nice job of finding places where Sanders can succeed. And I think together they're a nice tandem. I think anything you get out of Darren Sproles is kind of gravy at this point. Yeah. He's back healthy, but was not much of a factor against the Bears. And I don't, like I said, I don't I don't know what you can really expect from him. I think at certain points he'll make big plays. It's just I don't think it's stuff you can count on at this point in his career.
I have to ask you because I was on a show in Alabama Wednesday, Thursday, and they were asking me about Alabama basketball, the last question, because they had just lost to Penn. So what did you think?
I thought it was an impressive performance by the Quakers. Remember the name Jordan Dingle, true freshman, had 24 and the game-winning shot. Not to take anything away from Penn, I think it's going to be a tough year for Alabama. You know, they got the new coach, Nate Oates, and you could kind of see they're in transition here with because he wants to get it up and down and, you know, a lot of possessions, a lot of offense.
And that's not how they're built.
No, and that you could see they've got some holdover kids, some grad transfers, obviously the young kids, and there's a lot of work to do. But to their credit, Penn took advantage of that. And, you know, led basically the entire second half. I think if I remember correctly, the only time Alabama led, they hit a three to take an 80-79 lead before Penn hit what proved to be the winning shot. So it was a nice performance. And then Penn went to Rice on Saturday and really struggled, losing by 19. I think, you know, two long trips in 6 days is asking a lot of a team that's kind of leaning on some young kids. No, it's impressive. Anytime you can win one of those games, like on an SEC court, first time Penn's ever won a basketball game on an SEC court. Mm-hmm. So that's always a good one for the resume. It's going to be a fun season. Once they get to the Ivy League, they're going to be tough. Steve Donahue, I think he likes the players he's got. He's just got some kids banged up and, you know, some kids learning their roles. But they're going to be right there once again.
Alabama's going to be here December 14th. So. All right, but I couldn't believe I'm doing this interview about Penn State, Minnesota. They're asking me this, this, and this, and also they said, "Can we ask you a basketball question?" I said, "Sure."
They don't do anything really well right now, and like I said, I think they're just kind of in transition. And you know, they had the one kid Lewis who scored 30, but until his last couple of shots, it was a quiet 30.
Yeah, Kyron Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they weren't particularly effective from three. Pretty good rebounding, but I think that's also an area that Penn's going to struggle, so you would expect them to have an advantage there. They didn't really cause a lot of havoc defensively, but Nate Oates is a winner, and Nate Oates will get that program where he wants it to be. I just don't think it's going to be right now.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Don't forget about our high school football roundtable coming up on Thursday. We're going to discuss many of the issues that are going on in the Valley, in the district. Even though high school football participation is actually up 2% from 10 years ago, nationally it's down a high percentage. For example, take Ohio. It's down 27% in 10 years in Ohio. We're going to talk about that, the issues, how to get people more engaged, about making the game safer. We'll talk with our roundtable on Thursday about that. That'll be from 4 to 5. I'll do my part from D.C. And I'll ask, you know, Justin a question. And, of course, we're very fortunate we're going to have with us from the Daily Item, Todd Hummel. And then at 4:35, I'll ask the suit a question. That'll allow me to leave because he'll take up the rest of the show. What? No?
Maybe. Could happen.
Could. Have you listened to the games? I mean, Dave Ritchie's the only color analyst in high school football that doesn't have to take a throw lozenge.
Vic's people don't want to hear that. Or the Halls people.
Yeah. And then the voices of Penn State. On Friday, Jeff Byers from wrestling. Joining us from Minnesota will be Brian Tripp, the voice of ice hockey, and Justin Antwiel, the voice of Lady Line basketball, all in Friday's show. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Do you get concerned in the staff meeting at all when
You know who keeps asking if the sponsor is in Ward 4?
Yes.
Does that worry you?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just got to pull him out to the side. Yeah, you just got to, you know, pull him out to the side. It's like, you know, come on. Refocus here.
I tell them every day, you know, people in Turbotville count too. I mean, it's like, come on.
That's true. Gowan City.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Schmokin Dam.
Beavertown. I mean, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
It all adds up.
Berlin. It's interesting. I mentioned Berlin because I actually mentioned Berlin in my class yesterday. One of my students, and she's a very good student, by the way, she wanted to do play-by-play of field hockey. So she wanted to do the play-by-play of Penn State-Delaware field hockey, and it was on the road. And she said, welcome to Newark, Delaware. And I stopped her, right? And I said, look, I said, Cam, this is not going to affect your grade. I said, please. But again, you've heard me make the point once, you know. I said, but when you're doing something, I said, you got to take away as many negatives as possible. I said, so let's take away a negative perception here. I said, believe it or not, it is Newark, New Jersey, but it's Newark, Delaware. She went, everybody in the class went, what? I said, yeah, it's pronounced Newark. That's Delaware. Newark, New Jersey, but Newark. I said, let's take, for example, two towns in this state. I said, it's Lancaster, California, but it's Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I said, it's Berlin, Germany. It's Berlin, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, when I got here in 95, it was one of the first. It may have been Kevin. I think it was the first things he told me. That's New Berlin. It's like, don't say Berlin.
Right. New Berlin.
It's like the phone lines will light up from people from Union County.
Right. But it's pronounced New Berlin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. Just like it's Lancaster. But if it's California, it's Lancaster.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. Obviously, I grew up in Connecticut. The number of ways I hear Quinnipiac butchered. I mean, like butchered.
Always pronounced it Quinnipiac.
Right, it's Quinnipiac.
Okay.
Right, that's how you say it. Right, and I've heard it butchered for years. Butchered. Yeah, it's like, okay.
It's kind of like, doesn't matter where you are in Pennsylvania, you call it Latrobe, but when you get there, Latrobe. Latrobe, right?
Latrobe. It's Latrobe.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. No, that's, you are spot on. It's exactly what it is. So I've been trying to tell them, I said, look, you can't mispronounce names of players or coaches. You can't mispronounce names of towns. And I looked at it, I said, Cam, this doesn't affect your grade. I want to listen to your play-by-play. But you want to take those teaching moments. I said, and the last thing you need to do is to lose credibility by a mispronunciation.
Yeah, it's like I told you back in August. I mean, there was about three or four nights in a row I just sat at the kitchen table. I was going through all the pronunciations for the kids from, from the Caribbean and the kids from South Korea.
For Little League.
Yeah, when we were doing the PA announcing for Little League. And it's like, hey, that's their, you know, not to steal the one shining moment pun from March Madness, but that's their shining moment. You got to get it right. Plus their parents are out in the seats.
No, there's no question.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
Take care of the little things. The big things take care of themselves. That's one of those you have to take care of no matter what. Take, for example, let's take Indiana coming up. Really good player. He'll return kicks, and he's their leading receiver. Wap Fillier. Now, no offense, but, I mean, how many Wap Fillers are there out there? But you have to make sure you get it right. I mean, when it comes to players on Penn State, I walk up and I add, you know, there are certain ones that are obvious, for goodness sake. Sean Clifford, I don't think I have to ask Sean how to say his name. You know, Lamar Stevens, don't think I have to ask how to say your name. Mike Watkins, okay? Journey Brown. But there's certain guys you do have to walk up and say, okay, Amani Oruwariye, give me a roadmap. Help me out. Help me help you.
But the good thing is, when the announcement came down that he was going to be coming to Penn State. You nailed it there. You didn't wait till his first game of the season.
No, I asked him.
Yeah.
I said, look, I said, Amani, I said, this is a big moment for you. I don't want to ruin it. But, like, take Yetur Gross-Matos. Is it Matos? No, I had to ask Yetur. I mean, I'll never forget Adrian Amos. The coaching staff was calling him Amos, and so were the players. I said, is that how you say it? He goes, no, it's Amos.
Hey, you. It's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport, slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Hear from Jake Pinneger in a few moments. Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, when you don't win a game, you know, the other team does some things right, which nobody ever gives anybody credit for these days. It's always, you know, the mindset usually is one of we won it, we lost it. It's usually the mindset. And you have to give credit where credit is due to the other guy. There are a lot of decisions that are made during the course of the game. And, you know, if you're an offensive coordinator, you get 70 plays. Are there going to be a couple of plays where, like, you just, you know, sit back, oh, either wasn't executed right or, like, oh, I didn't quite. Okay. If you're a defensive coordinator, oh, couple plays. I mean, a couple plays here and there's going to happen to anybody. And I, you know, I can go through doing play by play. Usually when the game's over, I can tell you. I mean, the whole goal is to keep the number of mistakes under 5. And I can usually walk out of there every game and think of a couple things right away. I go, I should have called that better. But that's just in my job, let alone the play-calling job. And you have to make decisions quickly. And it was interesting. And this, you know, nobody's talked about, I haven't heard one person comment at all about the timeout with 5:26 to go, which I thought was brilliant. He knew that P.J. Fleck on fourth down was going to bleed 40 seconds off the clock and then punt. So James took a timeout and he saved the 40 seconds. That helped give his team a chance to win at the end because he bought his team some time. And then there's the two-point conversion. And again, I take myself back all the time to what was I thinking in the moment in real time, not after the game where you sit there and say, oh, look, they came down and got a field goal. Oh, look, or they came down and scored a touchdown. Oh, they could have kicked a field goal. Oh, they could have kicked a field goal. That's why he kicked the extra point. Well, with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, did you know all of that was going to happen? Did you? Are you Karnak the Magnificent where you know it's going to happen? In the moment, you have to make a decision. And so I'm sitting there watching them, and Jack was analyzing the touchdown pass to Bowers. And they're going to keep the offense out there. As Jack was took a quick glance at the scoreboard, and I saw about 4 minutes ago, and I saw 24-19. I'm thinking, okay, well, they get the 2 points, it'll be 24-21. Now a field goal can tie the game, or a touchdown can put them up by 4. It made total sense to me. This wasn't the first quarter. It wasn't the second quarter. And then you have to look at the team you're playing. And this is the part where nobody takes this into account. You either know the game and know who you're playing, or you don't. All right? So when I hear the postmortem, I have not heard anybody bring into play Minnesota's style of play in the second half. Minnesota was trying to bleed the clock dry, which means that you are attempting to reduce the number of possessions in the game. When James Franklin went for two, in the back of his mind, it was in the back of my mind, I'm asking myself, how many potential possessions are left in this game? There may only be a couple left for Penn State in the game. It turned out there were three. But the way Minnesota was trying to play the game, they were trying to reduce the number of possessions left. So at that point, you're trying to change the dynamics on the board a bit, because with the potential of reduced possessions, you want to put your team in the best spot to win. Right? How can I get there? Well, if I get the two-point conversion, I now am within three. Now, in a game where the opposition is trying to reduce possessions, right? Now I know if I get the ball to the 30 and I've got a good kicker like Jake Pinneger, whom we're going to hear from in just a few moments, I've got a chance to tie the game up. If I make that two-point conversion, the way my offense is moving, a touchdown could put me up by four. Touchdown and an extra point. You're not going to go for two there. You're going to kick the extra point. It puts you up four. Makes them now go down the field and have to get a touchdown. So in the moment, again, in the moment, not post-mortem, in the moment, I'm sitting there thinking, this makes sense to me. It's what I'd do. And to me, it's not chasing points. You may have a different opinion. If you do, that's perfectly fine. And people who are upset about this, I admire their passion, because you can't have a really good fan base unless you have a passionate fan base. And so I really appreciate that. I really do. The aforementioned Jake Pinneger had his press conference earlier today. This won't take long, but it's also an interesting perspective from somebody who's had a very good season.
Hey, Jake, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Curious about what you've seen from this program in the last 48 hours. We saw some very emotional guys in post-game media sessions. Have you seen kind of people digest things a bit more, and how are y'all carrying it forward?
Yeah, I think right after the game, there was a lot of raw emotion and stuff like that. And then I think the next day, Sunday practice, everybody moved on, shifted to Indiana, kind of using that as fuel, really determined and stuff like that. So what happened then is in the past, and we're kind of just moving forward right now.
I know you're kind of sequestered into your own positional groups early in the week, but Sean Clifford, as a guy who's going to help drive this team forward, how has he specifically kind of picked it up? And we heard from PJ Musfer this morning that Coach Franklin pointed out Sean in postgame kind of trying to take some of the load off his shoulders. How is Sean handling all this, and why do you think that was important for Franklin to do after the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Sean, just like everyone else, has moved on from it. You know, one loss is on everybody on the team. It's not just one person. So, you know, everybody picks everybody up in the locker room and stuff like that. And I think Sean's determined, and he's hungry to get back out there on the practice field today.
In terms of and special teams, Coach Franklin today pointed out, and I know that's not necessarily your field, but he said penalties are an issue. How is Joe Lohrig over the course of these first nine games, week to week, try to tighten you guys up, and you know, kind of how do you evaluate the entire unit, I guess, through those nine games?
Yeah, I mean, we got two goals, own the ball, no penalties. So those penalties are a huge huge emphasis. But you know, when we do that, good things happen. You know, that's just a consistent emphasis that he puts on us, is to own the ball and have no penalties. So, you know, we try to be the best that we can each week and clean it up. So
the weather's changed, colder balls. Can you describe what might be some of the difficulties that go into that whole operation when things get colder?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ball doesn't fly as much and it doesn't jump off your foot as much, but really it's not a huge deal. And for me, Blake, Chris, you know, we try not to think about it that much. Kind of just go out there and take it like any other kick. So it's not a huge deal.
How you doing, Jake?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So you, in the few weeks before the Minnesota game, didn't have too much repetitions when it comes to in-game field goals. So was it any sort of, I guess, adjustment, or was it tough at all, you know, stepping right back in after a few weeks, not off, but a few weeks of not kicking field goals in games? Or
No, I was excited. I mean, it had been a couple weeks, so I was excited to get back out there and do that. But, you know, we do it each and every day in practice and stuff like that. So, you know, I just got to be ready when my number's calling. So
we had Blake Gillikin on the practice field last week, and he spoke about basically being a leader, but also being someone who you know, is very studious and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. What does he do for this locker room in terms of who he is on the field, off the field, being a fourth-year player? Can you kind of describe his presence, not just in the special teams unit, but kind of across the roster?
Yeah, you know, he's a huge leader on our team and on special teams, of course, and he's a great role model for younger guys on and off the field. And, you know, I think he's been a huge part of our success. He's been a huge part of that, you know, pinning people deep, making it so that they have to go 90, 95 yards on our defense, which is hard. So he's been a huge part to our success, and, you know, off the field, he's helping everybody with anything they need to do. So, you know, he's a great leader and a role model.
This is going to be kind of unrelated. Do you listen or watch the Pat McAfee show at all?
I follow him on Twitter, but I don't really watch his shows that much. Mm-hmm. Bits and pieces, not really, though.
All right, so you have a guy who's kind of created a career for himself, who was a college kicker, NFL punter. Do you feel like, and he's always talking about kind of special teams operations and kind of giving mm-hmm. a voice to maybe mm-hmm. a segment of football that really hasn't had too many people speak up for them.
Of course.
What is that kind of thing, a whole experience like being in college, being a kicker, hearing someone kind of talk about stuff that you got to go through?
Yeah, I think he's really funny and really entertaining, and a lot of people like that and buy into him. And, you know, stuff with kicking and punting, you know, is not as glamorous as the other positions and stuff like that, but he kind of brings up on your side of things and kind of puts a highlight on it in a funnier and different way, which kind of gives light to it, which has been awesome. So I think it's awesome.
He is an interesting character. There's no question about that.
Well, Pat McAfee is an interesting character. No doubt. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Tomorrow we'll have Neil Coulong, and then also Bill Bender's Sporting News tomorrow. Bill Bender will be at 3:35, who's just one of the really awesome guys. Neil Coulong tomorrow. Final part of James Franklin's press conference tomorrow. Thursday shows from Washington. And we're going to have Kevin Herr, Justin Michaels, Todd Hummel from the Daily Item on the State of the Union High School Football Roundtable from 4 to 5 Thursday. Then Friday, from 3:35 to 4:30, we'll have the Voices of Penn State. Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling. Brian Tripp, the voice of Penn State Hockey. He'll join us from Minneapolis getting ready for a game that night. And Justin Antwiel, who is the new voice of Lady Lion Basketball, the former voice of Bucknell Women's Basketball. They'll be joining us for that roundtable, followed by the King. Who did not have a royal weekend.
2-5. Ouch. You and I were 3-4. So we gained. You're below 500, but we gained. That's all it counts. Oh. That's all it counts.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
It's like being the 8th seed in the NBA playoffs. All right. One final break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Final few minutes of the show today. Great to have you with us on the show. We're looking forward to tomorrow's show, getting Neil Coulong on to break down Mason Rudolph. Yes, that championship quarterback. You know, they got the Browns twice in 3 weeks. I know you suddenly have concerns.
I when the schedule was released in April, that was the first thing I jumped out off the page, and it's like, I did not like that whatsoever. You shouldn't have to have two divisional rivals play against each other in 3 weeks. Didn't like that at all.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. You know what? I think that, okay, there's three teams you're going to play in the division, right? You're going to play them twice. Why don't you open the game with three games against them and close the season with three games against them?
I mean, they played the Ravens. I mean, they played the Ravens close to a month ago. They don't play them again until week 17.
Well, everybody plays a division rival the last week.
That's right. And I think that was kind of purposely done. You know, for several years, it was actually the Steelers and the Browns played the final game of the season, and there was even a couple of years where the Browns head coach was fired in the fourth quarter of the game.
Well, that happens. You know? That's what happens with the really bad franchises.
so at least Steelers Ravens have a little more pop and sizzle, but I think they just, you know, put that together back in late winter, early spring thing. Hey, both teams are playing great. That could be flexed down to an NBC Sunday night 8:20 game. So.
Well, let's give credit where credit's due. I think Mike Tomlin and his staff are doing a really good job of looking at the state of their team, and now they're playing to what they're best at. They're playing in such a way where if they minimize mistakes offensively, they can, in turn, let their defense take over the game. The Rams' offense, the Steelers completely took Cooper Kupp out of the game. You know how tough that is?
I was worried. I was worried though, because Kevin and I were texting back and forth. The suit and I, not Kevin, your brother. We were texting back and forth. I actually called him during the game as well, because there was one different play that just irked me off. But there was, I said that if they're going to lose this game, it's going to be a game-winning catch by Cooper Kupp. I just kind of felt it happening, but thankfully it didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I just kind of had that in my back of my mind as the fourth quarter was going along.
Boy, aren't you a negative guy?
Well, there was one third down play in the fourth quarter where it's like it's third and one, and Mason's standing 4 yards back behind the line of scrimmage, and it's third and one. It's like,
this is your guy.
But just lunge forward and get a first down. That just drives me absolutely nuts when they do that. There's got to be other teams in the league that do that too. Just lunge forward and get a first down. I see Tom Brady do it a lot. Third and one, everybody in tight, just lunge forward. Just move the pile. Follow the pile.
Well, you're in a mood.
Well, you know, it's Tuesday. I'll have it out of my system by kickoff on Thursday night. It's just little, but just that third and one where it's that they're not packed in tight. I can't, I don't think I've ever done that before. I called Kevin on the phone and just vented. And those stretch plays, stretch plays when stretch plays shouldn't be called, that goes on quite a bit too. Not just with the Steelers. I think it was that Sunday night game the Browns was in a few weeks ago, and Freddie Kitchens called a stretch play. It was like fourth and seven or something. Yeah. Now that I got a laugh out of. That was. I mean, they went from a shotgun to a stretch play, and it's like, really, really.
You're in a mood right now. Keep on your rant here. You're ranting about a team that won.
See, this show can be therapy for me sometimes. I hope this helps out fans of, if there's fans of other NFL and pro teams, they're seeing the exact same thing we're seeing with their teams. You know, just the play calling. It's like, stretch plays and, read options when they should be doing something else. And
is there anything else you don't like?
No, I'm good right now.
Evidently not. This is the last 5 minutes you've been ranting about how bad your team is.
No, I wasn't saying how bad the team is. There was just certain points in the fourth quarter. Some of the play calling had me deeply concerned. I thought they were going to lose the game.
I mean, kicking game okay?
Well, Boswell's been money. I don't even call him Chris. I just call him money. And then when I spell out his name Boswell, I use a dollar sign instead of the S. Oh, he's money. Last year, though, that was a different story. This year, he's automatic.
And not only that, it's a Thursday night game. Short week.
It's official. Our guy, a.k.a. the suit, Kevin Herr, is a bad influence on me. It happened. It took 24 years.
He now influences you?
There's sometimes he can be a bad influence on me.
I told you that years ago.
I know that. You told me that day one back in 2016 when I joined the show.
I said, no matter what you do, I said, I want you to remember this word. It's a critical word.
Right.
Okay? Appeasement. Yeah, huh? Yeah, yeah, great. No, terrific. Yep. I'm with you all the way. Yep. It's all good. Oh, say they're great with me.
I feel
this
better.
Remember, this is how you get to be interim something.
I feel better now. Hey, Coach Franklin vented at the end of his presser this afternoon. I vented here at the end of the show, so we're good. I feel better.
I mean, seriously, I feel like, I mean, do you know how much money somebody makes to sit there and listen?
I'm listening.
Right? I'm sitting here for nothing.
Ander Permane, right. Brothers.
Ander Permane's more listening.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.